Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Well, as you grab your seat, grab your copy of God's Word, go with me to Isaiah chapter 12. Just a few more days until Christmas morning. Now, as you think about Christmas, there are so many things that there are to love about the Christmas season. But one of the things that makes Christmas extra special, that separates it and sets it apart from all the other holidays of the year, is that it comes with its own soundtrack, right? I mean, everywhere you go, you hear Christmas music there in the background. You see things and all the fun things there, the gifts under the tree and all those things, but there in the background is typically all of this beautiful Christmas music that we love to hear and we love to sing. How many of you guys love Christmas music? Amen? Yeah, man. I mean, your radio's probably been set on it ever since it started coming on, right? You might have started after Halloween even singing Christmas songs. Songs like we've already sung this morning. Or other songs like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, or Gentle Mary Later Child, or O Holy Night, or Away in a Manger, and many, many other classic songs, along with many, many new songs. I mean, a lot of good Christmas music out there. All right, Christmas music is vast, and it's robust, and that vastness and that robustness of Christmas music reflects the vast and the robust joy that is ours as we celebrate the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Eastwood, we have every reason in the world to sing, right? Joy to the world, as we sing in the beginning here, because you see, God is. That's reason enough to rejoice, but God is, and secondly, God saves. And so we have all reason in the world to sing. And if God didn't exist, there would be no reason to sing. Actor, comedian, and now musician Steve Martin, he makes this very important point in a song he wrote a few years back called "Atheists Don't Have No Song." And you may know this, but I mean, Steve Martin, man, he is a fine banjo picker. But here's some of the lyrics from his poignant song. It says this. It says, "Christians have their hymns and pages, have anagilas for the Jews. Baptists have the Rock of Ages. Atheists just sing the blues. Romantics play Clair de Lune. Born agains sing He is Risen. But no one ever wrote a tune for godless existentialism. For atheists, there's no good news. They'll never sing a song of faith. In their songs, they have one rule. The he is always lowercase." Now, Steve Martin, man, he captures something that is absolutely true. If you believe in nothing, then there is nothing to sing about. But for those of us who are theists, we're not atheists, and even more particularly, those of us who are in the world who are not just theists, but we who believe in God, but we, more importantly, are those in the world who are Christians, right? We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have songs to sing because God has done amazing things. Last week, we saw in Isaiah 11, looking at that prophetic promise that God would raise up a shoot, a branch that would bear fruit from that devastated stump of Jesse. That shoot, that branch was a prophecy that a seemingly hopeless situation would be filled with hope, foretelling the birth of Jesus. And here in Isaiah 12, we get the prophetic response to the fulfillment that that prophetic promise brings. And there, smack dab in the middle of all this prophetic response, is the prophecy that we will sing. Singing is a very Christian thing to do. Look at Isaiah 12, 2. Isaiah 12, verse 2, it says, "For the Lord God is my strength and my," what, church? "Song." The Lord God is my strength and my song. Jesus is our Christmas song. So every time we sing a Christmas song, we are fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 12. So let's look at the whole Isaiah 12, all six verses, only six verses in Isaiah 12, but these are very six important verses that help us to rightly honor Jesus this Christmas and every other day of the year. So I'm going to invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. As you stand this morning, just want to emphasize that what we're reading is the very Word of God, what the Bible says, God says. What it says we should believe and what it says to do, we should do because it's authoritative and true. Here's what the Word of God says. You will say in that day, I'll give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he's become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Let's pray together. Father, as we come and look at this text, Father, I pray that you'd help us to see it through the eyes of the New Testament, where we see the fulfillment of this prophetic promise in Jesus Christ. I pray that we would see Jesus all over this text because he is, and not just Jesus, but the birth of Jesus, the fulfillment of that promised shoot that would rise up from the stump of Jesse. God, we love you. We pray if there's anybody under the sound of my voice who's here today who is not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe they were at one point, but they've turned away and walked a different path apart from you. Or maybe they've never turned and trusted in Christ. God, I pray that today you would speak to their heart, that you would call them back unto yourself or to yourself, God. And I ask you would just move in this place, that today someone would renew or begin a relationship with you through your Son, whom you gave to us at Christmas. God, you're good. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated there. So as we look at the text here, here's today's task as we think about this Christmas season and this Christmas text. How do I honor Jesus this Christmas? How do I honor Jesus this Christmas? This verse here looks forward to that day, right? When the stump of Jesse would shoot forth and bear fruit, when Jesus Christ would be born. It says, you will say in that day. And then gives us three actions that will honor Jesus. First, to honor Jesus, thank Jesus. Very simple. This is not going to be a complex message today, you all. Thank Jesus. If you want to honor Jesus this Christmas, thank Jesus. Look at verse 1, Isaiah 12, 1. You'll say in that day, I'll give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Beloved, as I think about all the needs that you and I have in life, now, here in just a few days when we begin to open presents, you're going to get a mixture of wants and needs, okay? Some of the things you're going to get, like socks and underwear, things you need, okay? But you also get some toys and some gadgets and things like that that you want, okay? But when you think about all your needs in life, oxygen, food, clothing, shelter, all those things are needs that you and I have as basic human beings. But Isaiah here gets to our greatest need. Our greatest need, which is the is this, it's the turning away of God's righteous anger, God's wrath from us. The scripture is very clear that God is indeed angry with sinners. Psalm 7:11 says, God is a righteous judge, a God who feels indignation every day. The New King James Version of that same text, it's a little bit more direct. It says, God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. We read in Romans 1:18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their own unrighteousness suppress the truth. And guys, that's every one of us. That's what we naturally do. We're born sinners, born destined to face the wrath of God, the righteous wrath of God. But as Mary, the mother of Jesus, sang in her song that we've looked at over the course of our Advent season, "He who is mighty has done a great thing." And what is that great thing that God has done? He has turned away his own wrath toward us through the work of Jesus. You see, on the night that Jesus was born, an angel appeared to some shepherds out in the field in Bethlehem. We see this in Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. And here's what an angel said to the shepherds. It said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The angel declared that this one who was born would be a Savior. And if he's a Savior, then that means that he saves, which begs the question, saves from what? You hear Christians say all the time, man, get saved. You need to get saved. Get saved. Saved from what? And the answer is God's impending wrath coming upon us due to our sin. Jesus Christ came to save us from God's wrath, to turn away God's anger. Just a little over a month ago, November 1st, 2019, up in Stafford Springs, Connecticut, on a night that this guy was just minding his own business, basically, driving down the road, all of a sudden, his name is Glenwood Little. He was driving his car in downtown when all of a sudden, his car exploded under the dashboard and began to catch on fire. Now, it didn't kill him, but it incapacitated him. Just kaboom! There's actually a video of it from a surveillance camera on the street that you could go watch this. Again, it didn't kill him, but it completely incapacitated him, and his death was imminent because the flames were rising up. But fortunately, a man named Edward Sir was driving by, and he saw what happened. And without even thinking about it, he parked his car, jumped out of his car, ran over and reached into this burning car and pulled the man out of the fire, saving his life. He absolutely saved that man's life. And the whole Stafford Springs community has been calling him a hero, and rightly so. And I say to you, I tell you that story to say, beloved, Jesus did a very similar thing. He entered into our dire situation, the impending fire of God's wrath, and pulled us to safety. But you know what? He actually did an even greater thing than that. You see, Scripture tells us that he didn't just pull us to safety so that we could escape God's wrath for the moment. The Bible says that he died in our place so that God's wrath toward our sins would be extinguished forever, that there would be no more wrath. He turned it away forever. As Romans 3:25 describes Jesus as the one whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Beloved, that word propitiation means that when you come to Christ, you are not only forgiven of your sins, that God no longer counts your sins against you, but it means also that his righteous wrath has been extinguished. That's why Jesus took on flesh and dwelt among us. That's why Jesus was born in a manger. That's how Jesus is our Savior. And for those of us who are in Jesus Christ, I mean, we have so much to be thankful for. Be sure this Christmas to thank Jesus for turning away God's righteous anger towards you. But secondly, here in the text, to honor Jesus this Christmas, hope in Jesus. Hope in Jesus. Look at Isaiah 12, verse 2 and 3. Isaiah 12, verse 2 and 3, it says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I'll not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And I pray that that would be the testimony of every single person under the sound of my voice here this morning. That this would be your testimony, that God is your Savior, that you've trusted in Christ, that you hope in Jesus, that you I love this imagery. Draw water from the wells of salvation found in Jesus. Listen, guys, that's what Christmas is all about. That's what it's all about. That is the central purpose of Christmas. That's why we give gifts and we open gifts every Christmas, because God has given us a good gift in Jesus Christ. And we should open it. We should open it. Now, my papaw, Jim Smith, he had many endearing qualities about him, and he was a very kind, a very gentle soul. I mean, I could tell lots of stories about him. But one of the things that I sort of laugh about is the fact that as he got older, the less and less it seemed he liked to open presents at Christmas time. We'd all get together, my mom's family, and we would all be there with all my cousins and all the aunts and uncles and my granny and my papaw and all of them. We'd get together. And man, you can just imagine all those kids, all those aunts, all those uncles and granny tearing in, man, papers flying everywhere, right? You know how it is when it's like, go, and everybody dives in, right? And then when all the papers settled and the dust settled, there would be my papaw sitting over to the side with a stack of gifts like this high, because all of his grandkids and all of his kids got him all these gifts. And it wasn't that he was being mean or rude. I mean, there wasn't a mean bone in my papaw's body. I just think he enjoyed watching other people open presents. And so we'd say, "Papaw, aren't you going to open your gifts?" And he'd say, "Oh, I'll open those later." And we would have none of that. We would have none of that. We would aggravate him and agitate him until he would finally open them, because we didn't just want to give him gifts. We wanted to see him open those gifts. And eventually he would open them there. Guys, I want to say to you, every one of us this morning, we've been given an amazing gift, yet for some reason, there are some of us here amongst us who are refusing to open the gift that God has given. You've never turned from sin. You've never trusted in Jesus. God has not yet become your hope. He's not yet become your salvation. You have not yet drawn from the wells of salvation. And I pray that this Christmas, that the Holy Spirit would get all over you. That the Holy Spirit would convict you of your need for Jesus, calling you to come to Jesus. I pray that every Christmas present you open, that the Holy Spirit whispers and maybe even shouts into your heart, "Why are you opening this gift but ignoring my gift?" I pray the Holy Spirit would not leave you alone this Christmas, until you open the gift of Jesus that Christmas is really about. You want to dishonor Jesus this Christmas? Then continue to refuse to open his gift. But if you want to honor Jesus this Christmas, open his gift by hoping in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, drinking from Jesus. And finally this morning, I want to combine my third and fourth points into one point, because they really go hand in hand. How do I honor Jesus this Christmas? Third, make Jesus famous by rejoicing in him. Make Jesus famous by rejoicing in him, right? We see two commands here in our text, two imperatives to make Jesus famous. You see it in verse 4. Where God, through the prophet, says, "Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted." And you see it again in Isaiah 12, verse 5. "Let this be made known in all the earth." We have been called to make Jesus famous, right? This one, as we've seen in Isaiah, I mean, this is not trumping up like the Kardashians, who have nothing to be famous about other than being famous. This is a real being, a real person in Jesus Christ, who is worthy of being exalted, who is worthy of being made much of, who is worthy of being made famous. He is, as we've seen in Isaiah, God with us, right? He's conceived and born of a virgin. He is the Son of God. He's given to us as a king, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is the fruitful branch sprouting up from the stump of Jesse. And we are to proclaim him to the world. We want everybody on planet Earth to know that their Savior's been born, that their Savior has died, that their Savior has risen from the dead, that they might have a Savior, that they might trust in him and be saved. Every Christmas, this is our calling and it's our opportunity. And this Christmas is no different. How are we primarily to do that? Well, look at our text. Look at verses 4 through 6. Isaiah 12, verses 4 through 6. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. We do that, as it says here, through speaking, right? We're going to speak, right? We're going to give thanks to him publicly, right? When you're about to gather with family and friends, and you're going to do it more in a public setting than just in your private home, there's going to be other people there. And one of the ways that you make Jesus famous is by giving thanks to Jesus publicly, but also by calling upon his name publicly. You're going to pray, and as you pray, you're going to thank, and all those things there. And not only that, but we're going to tell people of his deeds and proclaim what he has done. And of course, that's not just verbal. It's nonverbal as well, because every time you string a string of lights on your house, and I love to drive around and look at Christmas lights. Every time you put up a tree, every time you decorate it with ornaments, every time you put presents under that tree, every time you wear a red sweater and a green tie, you are proclaiming non-verbally to the world that Jesus is the Savior, and we should make him famous. But also, and we need to get this morning, we probably don't, it's one of those things that fish don't know they're wet, okay? And here's what I mean by that. We don't just do this through speaking and non-verbal cues. We also do this through singing and shouting. Every Sunday we come in here and we sing praises to God. And we have radio stations like Christian Family Radio and Way FM that's playing Christian music. And right now, Christmas music. There is a reason, guys, why singing is such an integral part of being a Christian, of being a church, gathering together as the body. You see in the text, look at the text. It says, sing praises to the Lord. And then later it says, shout and sing for joy. Beloved, Christmas is the festival of the incarnation, right? Christmas is the festival of the incarnation. It's a celebration. Let me ask you this one question. Why do you think that people all around the world who have no relationship with Jesus Christ celebrate Christmas? And here's the answer. Everybody loves a party. Everybody loves a party, right? So when we make merry at Christmas, when we make a big deal at Christmas, we let the joy of the Lord rise up and we sing from the bottom of our hearts to the top of our lungs. We are making Jesus famous. Our rejoicing makes Jesus famous. In fact, guys, Christians should be the happiest people on the planet, especially at Christmas. There ain't room for Scrooges who are Christians at Christmas. So make Jesus famous by making much of Jesus, by rejoicing in Jesus. Eastwood, sing. Sing. Sing Christmas songs because Jesus is your Christmas song. Here's my final prayer this morning. May Jesus be your heart's loudest and most joyous song this Christmas.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and He stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what He has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow Him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.